Let's stand right now. Let's lift our hands and our voices and begin to magnify his name. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. God's the place. Your hands and begin to cry out, God, draw me close to you. God, take me further. God, pull me in. I need you, Jesus. I need your spirit. I need you to make me like you, Jesus. Oh, would you just begin to cry out to him right now? Hallelujah, Jesus.
no other name. I know no other name, no other name. I know no other name, no other name. I know
no other name,
no other name, no other name. I know no other name, no other name. I know no other name, no other name.
Can we lift our voice tonight? Come on, let's give him praise in the house. Come on, let's give him glory that's worthy of his name tonight. Oh, we worship you, we praise you, we adore you. We magnify your name. Come on, let us exalt his name together. We love you, Savior. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify your name. God, we praise you, Jesus. Amen. Before you're seated tonight, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Pray for Brother Myers. He is not feeling well. He needs a touch in his body. Also, Alicia Donahoe, this is Megan's mom. She's having a heart procedure tomorrow, so let's pray for her. Pray for the O'Connor girls. Some of them are homesick tonight. Pray for those who are not able to be here for whatever reason it may be, physical, spiritual, whatever it is. But God, pray that God touch them and bless them. Savior, right now, let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. God, you are worthy of the glory, the honor, and the praise tonight. We thank you, Lord, for health. We thank you, Lord, for well-being and protection. God, we ask you, Lord, right now that those that are sick among us, God, that you would touch them, reach down your hand from heaven. God, it's by your stripes we are healed. I pray, Lord, that you would bless tonight, God, that you would touch them where they are. Touch those, God, that have not been in church in a while. Whatever their need, whatever their desire, whatever their hope, God, I pray that you would help them. God, I pray, give them jobs. Give them the ability to be in church, dear Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name to do all these things, Savior. Amen. We give you praise and glory and honor. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Asking our ushers to prepare to receive the Wednesday night tithe and offering. Thank you for your continued support of the work of God. Amen. Also, please remember to pray, read your Bible. Amen. Every day, fast as often as you can. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's be faithful in our daily devotion. Make it a priority and a conviction. Amen. Be out there and witnessing, inviting folks to the house of God. Let's fill this house up and let's fill up the new building. But if we're not witnessing now, we're not going to witness then. Let's be faithful in soul winning. Amen. Let's stand together and pray for the offering. Savior, we love you. We praise you. We ask you, Lord, that you touch the remainder of this service tonight. Bless the gift of the giver in Jesus' name. Let's sing and worship as the ushers come.
Break every chain.
There is power.
every chain. Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Come on, let's pray right now. Come on, let's seek the Lord. Oh, come on, let's call upon. Is there an army in the house tonight? Come on, is there an army that's rising up in the house tonight? Oh, we love you, Jesus. We glorify you, Savior. Oh, I want to hear chains fall. Oh, I want to see battles won. Come on, let's pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's push a little further tonight. Oh, let's go a little deeper tonight. We love you, Savior. We love you, Savior. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Oh, we worship you, Savior. We love you, Jesus. Mighty God, I love your name. I worship your name. I glorify your name. Move in this house today. Move in this house today. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 26. So thankful to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I don't want to fall prey and fall into the habit of missing church, staying away from the things of God. The Bible calls it a habit. I know the word says custom, but that word translates to habit. It's a habit because there's no pressure when you're not at church. There's no conviction when you're not at church. It becomes easy to just stay away because I don't want to be convicted. I don't want to be challenged. But if it doesn't challenge us, it won't change us. And if it doesn't change us, it can't save us. I want to be challenged. I want to be changed. I want to be saved. faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That word faith is conviction. You got to hear a preacher preach conviction into you, and then obey that conviction. And so I mentioned Sunday night that a message was on my heart, preached Sunday night along these lines, but here is the message I was thinking of that kind of brought this whole thing about. Proverbs 26, verse number 20. I want to say on the outset, I know the context of this. I know the concept of this, but there is still a truth behind this. Proverbs 26 and 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Even the word kindle has this context of fire, of burning. And so tonight, knowing that these scriptures are talking about backbiters and talebearers and those that cause strife, I'm not talking about talebearers tonight. I'm not here to talk about sowing discord. I'm not here tonight to talk about kindling strife amongst each other. But I am here to talk about where there is no wood, the fire dieth. So tonight I titled this a little bit different than what you think I might. The title tonight is Fuel the Fire. Fuel the Fire. Can we lift our hands all over this house? Come on, I felt a burden in my spirit since Sunday. This has not lifted from me. I want to preach unfettered. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, where no wood is, the fire goes out. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. He shall baptize you with fire. Come on, don't let the fire go out tonight. Oh, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord. Come on, lift your spirit one more time. Come on, lift your heart tonight. Oh, we praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're going to help me preach tonight, you can be seated. So if you're not going to say amen, just remain standing. Praise God. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And as coals are to the burning coals, and wood to the fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. Can I just reword this? So is the godly man to kindle a move of God. You've got to have wood for fire to continue. The word wood in that setting of scripture means a tree. Hence wood, plural, sticks, timber, tree, or wood. Genesis 22 and 6 uses this word. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I preached this message before. I've read that scripture many times. But it hit me again the other day when I was reading it. They took wood to a mountain. We know the ram was caught in a thicket. So evidently, There was wood there, but Abraham was not going to chance that there was enough wood. Where he was going, he said, I'm bringing it. It was a mountaintop experience. God told him to go there, but he said, I'm bringing enough wood. I don't know how much wood it takes to burn a human body, but I know this. Abraham said, I'm bringing enough to get the job done. I'm bringing enough to make sure I follow through with what God said do. I don't know how much wood it takes to consume a human body. But wouldn't it be something if all you brought was enough just to hurt Isaac? Well, wouldn't it be something if all you brought was enough just to say, well, I brought wood. Here I am. I showed up. Can I just relate that to us tonight? You cannot just come to church and say, well, I'm here. Is that not enough? No, if someone's going to follow through with the things of God and do the will of God, we've got to bring enough. We got to bring enough fuel that the fire of God can break chains, can loose bands, can bring deliverance, can bring an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on. They prayed for 10 days before the fire fell from heaven. There had to be fuel for the fire to consume. Amen. The Bible talks about the fire of the Lord. And there came fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar and the burnt offering and the fat. And all the people saw it. They shouted and fell on their faces. You've got to have the fire burning. Ministers of Christ should have fire in their zeal consistently and constantly burning. We shouldn't have to come in every service and try to stroke a fire or stoke a fire. We're children of God. We got the Holy Ghost and fire. We used to sing a song, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's up in my hands. It's down in my feet. It's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Can I tell you, it may not be our way naturally, but the Holy Ghost keeps us alive. It may not be our way. It may not be our personality, but the Holy Ghost and fire keeps us. And I get it. I understand. I'm not a quiet person by some standards, but I'm not a showy person by nature. I don't like to get up and get all this moving and shouting. You can laugh talking about what I look like. I don't like getting up and making a show of my worship. That's what my natural man doesn't like. It's not about my natural man. I've got to get out of my natural man into the spiritual man. Come on, the natural man's carnal and fleshly and earthly, but the spiritual man is godly. I got to get out. I got to mortify the deeds of my, it's not my nature. I understand that. That's why you got to get out of your nature and get up on a mountaintop with Jesus. Man, you don't have to run every service. You don't have to jump every service. You don't have to clap. I guess you should clap your hands every service because we're singing songs. Clap your hands, oh, you people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. I mean, somewhere you should clap. But you don't have to run. You don't have to bite the ceiling. You don't have to swing from the ceiling fans. We don't have chandeliers in the new building, but or ceiling fans. But we got vents. We got vent covers. We got lights. We don't have to do that. But can I tell you, you got to do something. I know. Pastor, all you do is harp on us. I'm harping. It's an instrument. I'm playing. You can laugh at that, too, if it was funny. I watch people in pre-service prayer. They don't pray. They don't move their mouth. They don't close their eyes. They don't do anything. There are people in our church that do not, I'm not talking about generically in churches. I'm preaching to us tonight. There are people in our church that do not pray in pre-service prayer. I watch folks Sunday night not pray. That leads to not singing. You didn't bring any wood. You didn't bring any fuel to add to the fire. You want blessings from it. You want outpouring from it. You want prayer from it, but you brought nothing. You want to eat of the sacrifice that was given, but you got to bring wood. You got to bring fuel if you want the fire to burn. I'm going to tell you, my nature is I'm tired. I don't want to pray, but I got to pray. My nature is I'm weary. I don't want to do that, but I got to do that because I came to bring fuel to the fire. I come to fuel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You don't have to run. You don't have to jump. You don't have to shout all the time. But there should be some emotion. I'm just going to say it. It's not time for back rubs. It's not time for back scratches. If you got small children, you got to nurture them and do all that. I get all that. But I'm talking about us coming in and just nestling in. Anybody ever touch something that was hot? You move. I'm just not an emotional person. Until you get mad, until you get hurt, until. Then, because here's the deal. I did a study on this. I studied out emotion the other day. Emotion. The dictionary definition of emotion is this. It's an effective state of consciousness in which joy, sorrow, fear, hate, or the like is experienced, as distinguished from cognitive or volitional states of consciousness. There's some things I just do. But emotion is an effect of things that happen. Any of the feelings of joy, sorrow, fear, hate, love, etc. A strong agitation. That's what preaching does to us. Preaching is supposed to agitate. It's supposed to stir something. Anybody ever put something in the wash machine and you put on the agitate mode? You're trying to get some stain out. You're trying to get something out. There's something in that you need out. There's things in us we need out. And we got to come and say, you know what, whatever it takes. And so there's emotion involved in this. Amen. Strong agitation of the feeling acute by experiencing love, hate, fear, etc. And usually accompanied by certain physiological changes. Increased heartbeat, respiration, often increased heartbeat and respiration, and often manifest of crying and shaking. If you can stay in the presence of God and not be shaken and not be moved, I would question. An instance of something that causes us to react, the powerful emotion of a great sin. We get excited about certain things all the time, and yet we say we're not emotional. We get excited about going to certain places, yet we say we're not emotional. If you never get excited about anything, you need to go see a doctor. There's something wrong with you. If you don't have that's. What did Brother Clark Copeland preach? Spiritual nepathy? Can't feel anything? Can't be moved? Neuropathy? Can't be moved by anything? Nothing changes me? Nothing excites me? I went with people. You go running around during the day and you say, hey, you want to get something to eat? Yeah, whatever. No, I'm not really hungry. I don't like running with people who don't like to eat. I get excited about food. I want to go. That's part of going out. That's part of going somewhere. And there's no emotion. You want to go here? I don't care, whatever. You want to go to this place? No, I don't care. It's really hard to entertain somebody who's got neuropathy. It's really hard to talk to people who have neuropathy. Are we having? I know it's a monologue. It seems like a monologue, but preaching's not a monologue. Preaching's a dialogue. And really, all I am is the mouthpiece for the one who's given us the word. So don't shoot the messenger. I'm just the one giving the word that God laid on my heart to tell somebody, if you want a breakthrough, show some emotion. If you want a breakthrough, you got to step outside that comfort zone that Maria was preaching about the other night. And you got to do something about it, because that's how you get it. Yeah. Amen. The origins of it is a Middle French esmotion. It means to set in motion or to move with feeling. It comes from the word e and move. It's not just a feeling, it's an action. The scientific physiological state that arises spontaneously rather than through conscious effort. It is something accompanied by physiological change or feeling. It just happens. Emotion just happens. When I come into his presence, we talk about it going to heaven. We're going to shout in heaven. If you don't shout here, you ain't shouting in heaven. If you don't worship here, don't tell you you're waiting for heaven. It's something that comes on in the presence of God. I'm going to tell, while you're doing, I'm adding fuel to the fire. I'm trying to make sure something. It may just be a wave of the hand. It may just be a nod of the head. But something got a hold of my spirit. And I'm saying yes. I'm saying amen. Amen. The word emotion can be broken down by linguistically and conceptually. It means e, which means out of or out from, and motion. From the Latin motio, which means to move. So you got to move out. To move out, or that which moves me. Emotion is that which moves me. The concept meaning is thoughts, feelings, body, heart rate, breathing, tension, behavior, or action. Fear moves you. Fear moves you. If you don't believe it, walk up to one of these girls after church and say, boo, real loud. Fear moves you. If you really want to do it and see someone drop to the ground, I have some suggestions for you. Joy makes you smile. Happiness makes you smile. Seeing something you like, tasting something you enjoy, it makes you smile. Well, I'm not emotional. Yes, you are. You just choose, my God, you just choose what you allow yourself to be emotional in. Yeah. Well, anger moves you. Anger moves you. That's an emotion. I've heard people tell me they're not emotional, but I've seen them be angry before. Anger moves you to defend boundaries. Sadness moves you. I'm not a crier by nature, but there are certain things that make me cry. I don't just cry because I want to cry, but there are certain things that make me cry. Emotion, sadness moves me. It moves you to reflect. It moves you to grieve. It moves you to seek comfort. If we can be emotional over food, if we can be emotional over places, if we can be emotional over people, if we can be emotional over happiness and sadness and gladness and grief, then why could we not be emotional when we walk into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has saved us not only from our sin, but he saved us from hell. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul, there's something in my spirit. My emotion cries out, hallelujah. What are you doing? I'm adding fuel to the fire. I'm adding fuel.
I'm almost done with our little side study of emotion tonight. I've said this before. I say it again. You can be emotional and not be spiritual, but you cannot be spiritual and not involve your emotions. There's a balanced version of that. You can be emotional without being spiritual. But you cannot be truly spiritual without your emotions being engaged. Well, man, it was good church. You ever heard that saying, I got the Holy Ghost down deep in my soul? And someone said, well, tell your face about it. Anybody ever heard that? Tell your hands about it. People tell me they've been in the way. I've been in the way for 40 years. Well, it's time to get out of the way and let somebody else shout. If this is in you that deep, it's supposed to get better. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. And it looks like you've been married for 40 years and you're in an unhappy marriage. It ought to be better. I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I, this coming October, we'll be married 31 years. It's better now than it's ever been. And it's not because we're better off. It's not because we're better looking. It's not because of all that. It's because we've been through some things. We've weathered some storms. We've overcome some obstacles. And I love her more today than I thought I did back when I asked her to marry me. I thought it couldn't get any better than that. But 31 years later, can I tell you, it's the same way with God. When you come into the church and you're part of the bride of Christ, you ought to shout more at the end of your life. Hey, I'm getting even closer to the end. I'm getting closer to the back, the end of the story. I love him more now than I did back then. He's been better to me. Amen. Here's another one. Emotion alone is not evidence of spirituality, but authentic spirituality will always affect your emotions. Amen. Not every emotional experience is spiritual. But every genuine spiritual experience will move the heart. Every one of them. You can shout without the Spirit. But you cannot be filled with the Spirit and remain unmoved. The Holy Ghost does not bypass the emotion. It sanctifies them. I'm going to tell you something, church. We got to understand that God is not happy with our lack of zeal. And God is not happy when we keep our flesh. Hey, in his presence, no flesh shall glory. I come to praise him. I come to lift him up. I come to man. Come on, emotion is not the source of spirituality, but spirituality will always find expression through the whole person, including the emotion. We talked about this Sunday night. David danced before the Lord in Samuel, 2 Samuel 6. Ezra and the people rejoiced and wept in Nehemiah. Jesus wept. Everybody knows that Jesus wept. Raise your hand. Everybody knows that Jesus wept. The longest scripture in the Bible. John 11:35, Jesus wept, but did you know that Jesus rejoiced? Yeah. It literally says he rejoiced. And I looked up that word rejoice. What does that mean? Does he just say, oh, that was great? No, it means he jumped for joy. Yeah. God Almighty manifest in human flesh. In Luke, the Bible said, and the Lord rejoiced, and Jesus rejoiced. He gave a little shout. Can I just tell you something, church? He told them, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the very next verse, Jesus gave a little shout. What are you doing? I'm adding fuel to the fire. I'm going to make sure somebody else gets a breakthrough. I'm going to make sure someone else gets a move of God. I'm not holding it back. I'm not holding back for myself. I like what Maria said, I'm not allowing my comfort to stop someone's salvation. I'm not allowing my comfort to keep someone from getting the victory. I want to create an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So here we are. We're back to, we need the fire. We need zeal. We need, like I said, you don't have to shout. You don't have to jump. That may not be your jam. Was that hip? Was that the vibe, Bo? That may not be your thing. But you can't do nothing. Well, I'm just having a bad day. All the more reason to shout. I'm just going through a trial. All the more reason to rejoice. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. He preached it a second time. So we need the zeal. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Desire, covetousness means being earnest over these things and being covet the good gifts. It means this, to have a warm feeling for. Covet earnestly means to have desire. It means to burn with zeal. It means to be zealous in pursuit of good, to desire earnestly, strive after, busy oneself about, and exert oneself. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Hey, I come to church, I'm going to sweat. You know why? Because I'm covet earnestly the best gifts. I'm stirring. Come on, the Bible says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Brethren, covet prophecy. What's prophecy? It's divine influence. It's divine inspiration. It's the exercise of the prophetic. I want God to tell me something that's going to happen in my future because I'm a worshiper, because I'm a praiser. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us in Galatians 4:17, he said, look, you're zealously affected, but not in a good thing. You can be zealous about good things that are not good. You can be zealous about things that are not godly. You can be zealous about things that have nothing to do with your salvation. And some of them are not bad. I get excited about things. You go certain places. The big store on 10 Mile. You go in there and you get excited about certain things. You can't afford them, but you get excited about them. You drive down the road and see a car going down the road. You get excited. Anybody ever saw a car or house or something that you drove by and went, wow, that, oh, man. And you thought about it for a few hours that day. And then you go back by and drive by it again. You know, every time we drive by a certain place, there's an old Bronco sitting behind the house. Every time we drive by that, my wife knows it's coming. She knows it's coming. Hey, there's an old Bronco behind. I know that. Are you going to go talk to the guy? No, I got a dad for that. I just there's certain things you get excited about. But that doesn't mean that we're saved. That doesn't mean it's a good thing. The Bible says they zealously affect you, but not well. But it is good. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. If there's something to be excited about, if there's something to be zealous about, if there's something in our spirit, not only when I'm present with you, don't just do it because pastor said do it. Don't just do it because we're trying to exhort. Do it when I'm here. Do it when I'm not. Do it when you're at home by yourself and you're listening to good music and praying and be excited. Anybody ever shouted at home because it was the right thing? I'm going to tell you something. If you can't pray at home, you can't pray at church. If you can't shout at home, you can't shout at church. This is just an outward expression of what we do in private. This is just a public expression of our private walk with God. I want to be able to lift my hands in church as I lift them at home. What does that zealously affect mean? What does that mean? It comes from the word which means to heat. Having it root in to boil with heat, to glow, to be fervent, earnest, be fervent and be earnest. The Bible said in Acts 18:25, being fervent in the spirit. Romans 12:11, be slothful. Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. What does that mean? That means to rekindle. To rekindle. What is a compound word that comes from a living thing and fire? A living thing and fire. Can I tell you, when you touch fire to your flesh, it's going to shout. That's good preaching right there. When you touch fire to your flesh, it's going to make you move. When the Holy Ghost and fire comes in, it's going to make you want to shout. Hey, it makes me want to shout. It makes me want to dance. It makes me want to clap my hands. Come on, you got to stir it up. He said, I baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as the fire. Come on, church. It's time to fuel that fire. It's time to fuel.
Why does it matter, Pastor? Why does it matter? We all believe it. What matters if I shout? What matters if I rejoice? What matters? Well, first off, it's according to his excellent greatness. Yeah. It's according to his mighty acts. It's according to his works. We praise him. It's because he's good. We praise him. Yeah. All of that. But here's the other thing. We know that, but our visitors may not. And if I have to pull teeth, everyone resist. Anybody like getting your teeth pulled? Oh, no. Anybody like it without anesthesia or a local? Or, you know, everybody wants a shot. If I'm going to pull it, make it numb. I don't have time to numb it in a church service. But sometimes it's like pulling teeth. God didn't call me to be a dentist. He didn't call me to be a cheerleader. He called me to preach. He called me to preach the word. And the Bible said that the word was like fire. Nobody knows. Was like fire shut up in my bones. In fact, when the two disciples were walking with Jesus and he was talking to them, they said, didn't our spirits burn within us? Can I tell you, there ought to be something in each and every one of us. When that word goes forth and those songs go forth, it's like a fire. Shut up. Shut up. Come on. Let your heart burn within you. Talk to us by the way. Come on, my God, the word of God that's preached ought to make us want to shout, not just because we're here, but let our light so shine that all men can see the goodness of God. Let our light shine.
Amen. So we're back to our text tonight. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. I'm sorry, but I'm here to run an eternal flame. I'm here tonight to preach an eternal salvation. And I refuse to let it die on my watch. I refuse to let weariness, stress, hurt. I've been hurt this year. This last year has been a rough year. But I refuse to let my losses dictate my worship. And if I lost some things in this year, I'm going to let those losses be kind of worthy of the revival that comes from them. If this is what I got, I'm going to put fuel to it. If God's willing to pour it out here because there's wood. I know we talked Sunday night about 3,168 sacrifices. Every six paces, there was a sacrifice. But think about this. There had to be enough wood for 3,168 sacrifices to be consumed. Somebody had to chop wood. Somebody had to carry wood. Here Isaac is going up to the mountain to be sacrificed. He does not know this, but evidently he's carrying enough wood on his back to burn a human body.
We got to come to church every service. We shouldn't have to be prodded. We shouldn't have to be cheerleaded into it. We shouldn't have to be asked. It should be in us. It should be in us. Because where no wood is, the fire goeth out. I'm tired. I'm weary. But I didn't just come here to take up an hour or two. I came here so somebody else could get a move of the Holy Ghost. So I could get victory. Come on. Some of you don't have enough fire to burn a furnace high enough to burn the bitterness out of you, to burn the bonds out of you, to burn the hurt out of you. You got to build a fire high enough that the enemy dies. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. You got to burn a fire high enough that the enemy that wants to throw you in it dies around you. But it, my God, but you walk around in it with Jesus because he's. Amen. Here's the problem, because iniquity shall abound. Iniquity is not just sin. Iniquity is premeditated sin. Made up mind sin. We have people with made up minds. I'm not talking in generalities tonight. I'm talking to Cornerstone Pentecostal Church. So well, that's not us yet. Yes, it is. We got people where iniquity abounds. I've been told before, well, good understanding makes for long-time friends. We have a good understanding. The understanding is you're going to do what you want. There's no conviction. Not everybody. I'm just saying in generality, not everybody. There's people who have no conviction about what I preach. They're not going to do it. They're going to do their own thing. That's fine. But because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, one person abounding in iniquity can make the love of many wax cold. But where sin abounds, not iniquity, but where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. What are you doing? I'm trying to burn iniquity out of the church. I'm trying to burn premeditated thoughts and desires and a made-up mind for certain ways and certain things. I'm trying to burn that out of the church. I'm trying to have people grow in revival and grow in the things of God. I'm trying to get to a place where visitors come in, all they feel, all they ever see is a thriving revival church. All they ever hear is people praying in pre-service prayer. All they know is, I don't understand all this, but I feel something in my spirit. That is up to you and I. That is not up to God. That is up to you and I, bringing fuel to the fire, bringing enough wood. There's got to be enough wood to keep the fire burning. Leviticus 1:7, I got to hurry, it's 8:30. Leviticus 1:7, and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Leviticus 3:5, which is upon the wood that is on the fire. Genesis 22:9, and lay the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Nehemiah 13:31, and the wood offering at times appointed, and the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. There is an appointed time to bring wood, and that's church time. Y'all remember that old song? Did somebody say church time? Lord, I'm ready to go. Lord, I've been waiting, anticipating, I'm celebrating, it's church time. Do we still get excited about, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. I came running. I came rejoicing. We ought to bring, we ought to come to church rejoicing. We ought to come to church shouting. We ought to come to church clapping our hands. We've been doing this all day. We couldn't wait to get to the house of God. Amen. James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. And behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Again, I know the context. Talebearers, discord sowers, all of that. But the context is still there. The concept is still there. How great a fire. 100,000 acres started with a match. 100,000 acres started with a cigarette butt thrown out the window. Just a little. Just a little fire. In the right environment. You don't know what your shout. You don't know what your praise. You don't know what? There was a lady in the church in Spruce Grove. We called it a war cry. She had a war cry every once in a while. It wasn't all the time, but every once in a while, she let out a scream. I'm telling you, it rocked the house. It would shift the atmosphere. I remember a young person after that lady got mad at something and left. It wasn't mad at me. She was mad at somebody else, and she left. How good was her Holy Ghost? Someone, young person said, I wish that she was still here to let that shout out. And then she felt like God told her, why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? You got lungs. You got breath. Why don't you do it? And so all of a sudden in this service, this conversation is going on in this young person's head. We don't know about it. All of a sudden, that war cry. That war cry went out, and I'm going to tell you something. Because that person was full of the Holy Ghost and had the right spirit, it had more effect. You have no idea what your little fire. You have no idea what your burden. You have no idea. Well, I just can't do it. Even more effective. It's just not you. It's just not your nature. But even more effective when you walk over and pray with somebody. Even more effective when you walk over and put your arm on someone's shoulder. Even more effective when a visitor's not in the back by themselves, but a person who's out of their comfort zone walks over in the Holy Ghost and with a little fire can touch somebody in the Holy Ghost. My God, I would that there was never a visitor without a saint praying for him. I would to God there was never a service where someone wasn't singing. I would to God. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I looked up that phrase, great a matter. That great a matter was not just a moment. It was not just a season. It literally translates to a forest. A little fire kindleth a great forest. By implication, fuel. It comes from the word which means timber as fuel or material for a fire. It also means a tree. And one of the places that word tree is used in the Bible with that scripture and that context is God of our Father raised Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Can I just get ahead of myself? The only fuel we should need for a move of God is the cross of Calvary. I'm going to tell you, the only fuel we should need to worship God, the only fuel we should need is the cross of Calvary. That tree should be our fuel. That tree, that's not hyperbole. That's what it means. That wooden cross, that tree was fuel for your salvation and my salvation. And when I come to the house of God on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, and there's visitors out there, the fuel for my fire is Calvary. The fuel for my fire is Calvary. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Acts 10:39. Whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Acts 13:29. They took him down from the tree. Galatians 3:13. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You think he didn't know that? They prophesied of his crucifixion before crucifixion was even invented. What was he doing? He was giving us fuel for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many times we've come to church and had blowout services. And then the next one, you couldn't stroke the fire if you had 110 octane race fuel. Just as cold. It's blown my mind for 10 years. I'm not blaming anybody in this house. It's been going on in this church for 10 years, almost 11 years. One great service and then a poof. One great service and a poof. I'm almost afraid to have great church. Talking to my mom and Mark the other day at breakfast. Talking about Brother Bradford. I said, Brother Bradford can't handle quiet, dead church. Can't do it. Some of them old timers don't like being pushed, but he just can't do it. Just the other day, Brother Joel Moats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, called me and said, hey, I heard you got a lady over in the Springfield, Ozark area, looking for a church. I said, yeah. He said, we're fixing to go over and start a branch work over there in the Ozark. He goes, you think she'd come? I said, absolutely. And then I told her, I said, Vicky, he's high octane. I've never been to the Moats Church where the Holy Ghost didn't just blow the place open. I've been there when there's deep moves of God. And I've been there when there's high moves of God. And I've heard him teach. But somewhere in that service, whether it was pre-service prayer or song service or something, God moved. That's a culture. That's a culture. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, as God is my witness, a pastor cannot carry that. That has to be a culture that someone else brought fuel. I can only carry what I can carry. Somebody else has got to put wood on their shoulder. I just thought about this. Jesus carried that cross, beaten, bruised, battered, beyond recognition. Couldn't go any further. And Simon picked up that bloody cross and said, I'll carry it the rest of the way. Church, that ought to be our mindset every time we come to church. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't pick up your cross and follow after me, you're not worthy of me. What's he saying? Don't forget to carry the fuel. Don't forget to carry the fuel. This is not a reprove. This is not a rebuke. This is an exhortation. You want to see revival in your family? You want to see revival in your home? You want to see revival on your job? You want to see revival in your loved ones? You got to carry enough fuel to put them on an altar and pray until they get moved. If you're going to throw your Isaac on an altar, you got enough wood to pray him through. If you're going to throw your baby on an altar, you have enough. Jesus said, I am come to send fire upon the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? You know what that translates to? A lot of times we read the King James and we're like, what does that mean? What will I if it's already kindled? This is what it translates to. I come to set fire on the earth. But oh, how I wish it were already kindled. It seems to be the theme the last several services. He's trying to tell us something. If you want to fill up that new building, if you want to pay for all this weariness and labor that you've been putting in day in and day out, you better stack enough wood. I wish it was already kindled. You know what that word means? That word kindled means intensity. Pastor, you're just too intense. You just push too much. That's exactly what he said, dude. Intensity. I'm not half-hearted about this. I'm not casual about this. There is a posture that I want in my spirit, that I want in this church. And I am saying, you don't have to shout. You don't have to run the aisles. You don't have to leap for joy all the time. But there ought to be something in your spirit that you can lift your hands and let tears flow down your face and say, I want to move. Maybe you don't run the aisles, but you can pray and move through and let somebody else run. Maybe.
Maybe you don't jump for joy or shout, but somebody else is in an atmosphere where they don't feel guilty for doing it. Come on, you don't hide your candle under a bushel, but you set it on a candlestick so that others may see the light. What are you doing? We're making sure people come to church and see the light. Come on, let the fire of my altar never burn out. Come on, anybody feel this tonight? Anybody open to this tonight? Anybody say, you know what? Maybe I could do more. Maybe I could put more in. Maybe I could carry more to the altar. You don't even have to come out of the front tonight. You can do it right where you are. You can just say, you know what? I'm going to worship more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to open my mouth a little bit more. Pastor's not making you run to be saved. He's not making you shout to be saved. He's not making you dance to be saved. But he is saying if you're saved, you will praise. You will worship. Come on, can we sing this right now?
Fire of my altar never burn out. May the fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. Fire of my altar.
Come on, let me hear you sing it tonight. Come on, lift your hands all over this house tonight. Come on, make that your prayer right now. Come on, make that your prayer right now. Every family, every home, Oh, we glorify you, Savior. God, we glorify you, Jesus. Leviticus 6 and 12 and 13. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it and shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. It shall be on there the fat of the peace offering. And the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Nehemiah chapter 10, they cast lots. There was a continual offering. They were charged with a continual offering. It was an ordinance. It was the ordinary that became extraordinary because they did it extra. They cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering. He said, there's an offering of wood. If this fire's going to burn all the time, everyone's got to bring wood to it. I told this story before. But when we lived in Canada, we had a fireplace in our house out in the country. It was neat. Had to use certain wood. And that's a whole nother message to preach. You had to use certain wood, certain size, certain way. It was such a pain that we just, whatever. Big deal. But when our heater went out, it became a big deal. Middle of January, 40 below, no heater. We're not just talking about being cold, folks. We're talking about pipes bursting. We're talking about house shifting. So he said, you got to heat that place up, and you got to make that warmth go throughout the house. We had to put a fan, a big livestock fan, in the basement, sound like an airplane, to get the fan moving, and then burn a fire continually, literally, continually. If we were going to leave the house, we had to make sure the fire was going so it wouldn't die out before we got back. I don't know if it was 2 or 3 days. It might have been a week. All I know is everybody had a ministry of wood. We came in the house. Is the fire going? Do I need to bring wood in? When it matters, it matters. Does it matter? Does it matter, church, that we have a move of God every service? I'm not saying we can't have teaching. I'm not saying we can't have just good worship. But does it matter that somewhere in that service, that every family, every husband, every wife, every family says, I got a ministry. And here I'm closing with this. It was the business of the people to procure the wood for the fire of the temple. It was probable few of them returned from their former masters after captivity. Therefore, they found it necessary to cast lots amongst the priests, the Levites, and the people who should furnish the wood at the appointed time. This bringing of the wood to the temple at last became a great day. And it was constituted into a feast called by Jehoshaphat, the carrying of wood. It was a feast. It was a celebration. We're bringing all the wood for the continual offering. Now, I understand they did it once a year, and but that fire burned every day. That fire burned every day. And also back then, they only got to go to the Holy of Holies one person, one time a year. We get to enter in to the holy place, the Holy of Holies, every day. As many times a day as we want. How much more should we carry wood? And this is all spiritual. That was physical. This is your spiritual. I can come to the house of God and I can worship. That's easy. I can come to the house of God and give him praise. That's easy. Come on, can we do it one more time? Let the fire of my altar. Let the fire of my altar. Come on, let the fire of my altar. My altar. My consecration. My walk with God.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight? Come on, can we thank God for His word? Can we thank God for His word tonight? Thank you, Lord. Man, just quickly by way of update. As you know, the building's painted. Most of the lights are in. I think all but about three or four are in the building. Exit lights are going up. Floodlights, motion sensors. HVAC vents covers are going on. Brother Caleb, myself, Connor, and Carson were on the phone today with a pastor that's a very good sound man, ordering and looking at equipment. We band-aided the equipment we had, the old building. We didn't want to put money into it because we knew that building was weird for sound. So we're pretty much going to have to replace pretty much everything. I think there's a few cords and hopefully some microphones that we can keep. But really, we got to replace everything. But it's going to be good. It's going to be right. It's going to be crisp. It can be loud and be crisp. When it's loud and muffled, that's when everybody complains. People complain no matter what, but that's how most people complain. But we're not going to do that because this has been a lot of work, and we're excited about it. But it's probably going to cost. I'm not even going to give a number because every time I give a number, it goes up higher. So it's going to cost about $3. About $3. Now I'll say that, and everybody's like, "Oh, I don't have to give to that. I don't have to help out with that." No, it's thousands. Thousands. I'm not saying tens of thousands, but it's close. But thank God for a new building, and this is all the part of carrying the wood to the fire. Amen. Amen. Greet somebody tonight before you leave. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.